Good morning and welcome. Yes, indeed, we did celebrate Easter last week as part of our Western Christianity, but today, just as a reminder, is when the Orthodox celebrate Easter. And we are in the middle, in the second week of the liturgical Easter season. And I'm not a teacher, but I do want to teach, if you don't already know it, the way that the Greek Orthodox will greet one another at church today. Last week we said, "Christ is risen," and the congregation responds, "He is risen indeed," which is still true and always true. But today at our Greek siblings' churches, they will say, "Christos Anesti." Doesn't that sound beautiful? And again, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who are Greek and those who want to be. So if you want to say, "Christos Anesti," and then in Greek, that's "Christ is risen," and in Greek, the response is, "Alithos Anesti." He is risen indeed. Alithos Anesti. Christos Anesti. And we do celebrate the risen Lord every day. Just one announcement this morning that I know of, and that is that next Sunday, just as on Palm Sunday we formally welcomed Linda Ross into our congregation, next Sunday we will welcome Danita Gregory and Jane and David Chappelle. And following that, we will have a reception in the Fellowship Hall for Linda and Jane and Dave and Danita. And if you're able to stop by for coffee and donuts, that would be wonderful. And if you'd like to help set that up, you can just see BJ. Also, we're having an inquirer's class next Sunday. You can meet in the library following worship. Meet with me and Miss Kimberly. Any other announcements today? Well, let us pause for a moment to feel God's presence among and within us. And as Christians, we live in embodied faith. And so let us take a moment to breathe in the breath of God and breathe out anything that does not serve God's purpose of love. Please join me in our call to worship. Let us say to the Holy One, "You are our God. From you comes only good.
Holy One, you are our God. From you comes only good."
The Holy One is our chosen portion and our cup. God provides only what is good.
Holy One, you are our God. From you comes only good.
The Holy One provides, walks with us, and sustains us in all things.
Holy One,
you are our God. From you comes only good. And please, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, "O Sing a Song of Bethlehem," number 159.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, forgive us for the way we have bashed Thomas. We've saddled him with that nickname, Doubting. Help us to remember that you didn't give him that name. Help us remember that your only nicknames for all of your children are ones like Beloved and Precious. Forgive us for applying labels, for making lifetime judgments based on specific actions. We apply them to others, and we apply them to ourselves. Help us, merciful God, to name all your created holy. Amen. Beloved, the Redeemer of our souls meets us in our doubts, uncertainty, and questions when we call. And when we do not call, God remains present with us. Receive the grace of God to trust the Holy One with our struggles, pain, and brokenness. May we have life in the name of the one who came to us, comes to us, and will come to us again and again. We are forgiven. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. And we are invited to share one expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us now offer to one another some sign of God's peace and love.
So we came to the grave bringing flowers.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Mickey. We come before God in prayer with our communal prayers, and we want to continue to lift up Patty. I have not heard anything from Patty this morning. I know I probably was texting her too early, but I'm sure the doctors had already gotten her up and moving about. But the surgery was successful, as you had received word in an email. And if you're not on our email list, please give me your email so we can make that right. And so we want to continue for Patty and for Chuck as this healing process continues. Also, Pastor Clifton is preaching at Deer Valley Presbyterian. Deer Creek Presbyterian, is that your church, BJ?
What?
Deer Creek? Yeah, that's where Pastor Tom is today. So he's there today, and he'll be here next week also. Or he'll be there next week also, and then he'll be back with us after that. Want to continue to pray for Sandy, so many, Holly, so many who are just in need, as we all are, but in need in special ways. Let us come before God first in silence, knowing that God knows what we need much more efficiently than we do. O God of resurrection, you offer new and abundant life, not just one Sunday a year, not just two, and not for only a liturgical season, but in each and every moment of all of our days, you give to us the gift of renewal. Your generative and restorative care has been present since the beginning, long before we entered this world. And your love will be here long after we've joined you and the departed in eternal life. Help us, O God, to look at our lives, at ourselves, at one another with your eyes, the eyes that you had when you walked among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. May we, like you, be tender with our words and actions. May we be instruments of healing and cohesion. And yet may we be brave to stand and speak boldly in the face of evil and injustice, always seeking to further your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We do gather here 1 hour during the week, but may our time together transcend all that we do. May our dreams be filled with images of your goodness and your will for us. May our actions at work, at home, in our communities be shaped by our prayers, our songs, and our offerings. And may we gather strength from your love as we experience it through each other. Strength to face whatever brings us sorrow, whatever wounds our souls carry, and what might cause us to cling to other gods that distract us from you. And we ask your strength for those who need it most, for those who are in power to be led by you and your mercy and your love and your tenderness. And this and the unspoken concerns of our hearts we lift up to you in the name of the one who is for us our pathway, O God, to you, Jesus, the risen Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I want to thank Miss Mickey for choosing this hymn today. This is one of a long favorite of mine. I invite you to stand, rise in body or spirit as we sing together our hymn of meditation, "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight." Please be seated, and would our ushers come forward as we receive this morning's offering. Thank you. the author of all and only good things. You have blessed us with so much, and we return a portion of our gifts to you, and may these gifts be used for the good of all of your creation. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I may, before I begin, I feel I have to apologize. I'm hearing a lot of murmurings about, were we supposed to have communion? Were we not going to have communion? Because it's on the church calendar in the newsletter, and it's my fault. I failed to follow Proverbs 3, verse 5. Lean not on your own understanding. Because it was my understanding and mine alone that we were going to have communion because Easter was so busy. And I told our church secretary, put it on the calendar, and there it was. And there's no communion table.
Thank you. Just your understanding. It was my understanding.
Well, because I brought it up.
Yeah, but I got a stone. So if anybody wants to stone me or Peggy, we got a stone right here. But she's not getting stoned without me getting stoned, because it was my understanding too.
We'll stone each other.
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
I do apologize. So let's peek in on someone else who thought he leaned on his own understanding. Poor Thomas. Okay. From the book of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." A reading of the word.
Thank you, Miss Peggy. Have you seen that political, it looks like a political cartoon, but it's a cartoon of Thomas and Peter, and Thomas says to Peter, "They don't call you denying Peter. Why do they call me doubting Thomas?" It is true. We do give Thomas a bad rap. Let's pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you might not believe it, but I had my first leadership position when I was just about 17 years old. And I was put in charge of 15 high school students who worked as shelvers at the Shaler Library. And when you get a leadership position, one thing I didn't expect, but since then and continuing to today, do you know how many hours I have spent writing letters of recommendation for people? Once you get any kind of, if you're somebody's teacher, if you're somebody's supervisor, you're somebody's boss, I have spent so many hours, more hours probably than I've spent sleeping, filling out evaluation forms, providing references over the phone for people applying for jobs, scholarships, colleges, you name it. And way back in the day, it used to be the old-fashioned way, where I'd have to find a stamp and an envelope and send it all back. And I guess I was much more organized then. Now I can't even imagine putting that all together and getting something mailed. And there were phone calls back in the day, but things have changed. Now they come in internet forms. In fact, the last one that I did was text messaging. I've even used apps. The formats have changed, but the questions are pretty much the same. What makes this candidate stand out? What areas can this candidate improve upon? And of course, no matter what the job is, it seems, or position, describes this candidate's leadership skills. And this is one you have to be careful with, because you don't want to say that they're a really, really great leader, because then that might imply that they're a really, really bad team player. But if a good candidate is going to have high quality leadership, what does that look like? Just think for a moment about that. How would you describe what you are looking for in a leader? When you're hiring your next pastor, when you're looking for a good school principal, if you're going to be voting for your next president of the country or president of your homeowners association or garden club, what kind of characteristics do you want in a leader? And the answer is probably going to be different for everybody, nuanced a little bit. But according to polls and studies and all of those things, the traits that are most often listed, people want in a leader: confidence, assertiveness, and ambition. That's what the studies say. Do you agree? I guess it does depend on the kind of role you're looking to fill. But what if you're looking for a leader? You're in that decision-making process, trying to choose a leader to guide you in all the aspects of your life. Confidence, assertiveness, ambition. It probably depends on where you are in your current state of life, too. Imagine yourself as one of the disciples in the room, locked behind a door, hiding behind those closed doors. Even though Jesus visited you last week, offered you peace, breathed the Holy Spirit into you, and said, "I'm sending you out like God sent me." Like, do you want a confident, assertive leader to come on in and show up full of that, assertively chastising you for still being locked in the same room for the last 8 days? Is that what you want to hear? What if you're Thomas? And you're thinking that everybody else has seen the risen Jesus and I've been left out. And you want your turn to see Jesus victorious over death. Do you want your leader, your Jesus, to stride into the room and confidently criticize you for needing proof? Would any of us feel good sitting here in 2026 with the world that seems on fire in so many different ways. Again, these opinion polls are whatever they're worth. But apparently 69% of Americans, the thing that bothers them most about the Iraq war, the war in Iran, is how it's going to impact their price of gas. And 45% are most worried that too many civilians are dying in the war. Do any of us sitting right here now worried about the surgery that's coming up, about the decisions that we have to make? So many of us who have people in our lives struggling with a new cancer diagnosis, struggling with our own addictions, depression that grips us and won't let us go. Do we want a leader, Jesus, who's going to just stroll in here like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or Mikel Arteta and confidently and assertively, even arrogantly say, "This is just a blip. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're too blessed to be depressed. Quit your whining. This is nothing to come compared to the good stuff. Let's go again." Do we want that kind of leadership? Because if we do, we don't find it in Jesus. Because Jesus comes to visit his fearful, hurting, hiding, questioning disciples with compassion and tenderness and mercy, and guess what else? Wounds. Jesus shows up after the resurrection complete with the wounds that were made in his hands and his side, and he displays the visible reminder of the scars that abusive power and hate can and do inflict. Jesus standing there is tangibly displaying evidence that the cruelty of the world that so many of us have experienced, so all of God's people have experienced and are experiencing, it is real. We have a God who didn't run from cruelty or evade it. He could have. We have the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the incarnation of Christ, who was vulnerable, who did not retaliate against his enemies with violence. Remember when Simon Peter, he cut off the ear of one of the soldiers who were arresting Jesus, and Jesus, our leader, chose to heal that soldier instead of allow him to be maimed or killed. Our leader did not make fun of Thomas for asking to see him, didn't ridicule the other disciples for still hanging out, afraid, behind closed doors. Does that make Jesus confident, assertive, and ambitious? Do those words describe this man that we've chosen to be the leader of our lives? I don't know. But I do know words that do describe him pretty well, I think. Tender, compassionate, vulnerable, wounded, and merciful. And regardless of whether or not we see vulnerability and tenderness and compassion and mercy as qualities of a good leader, we have to admit that those qualities made Jesus victorious. and they bring victory to you and me. Victory despite the wounds of our world, of our bodies, and our soul. Our wounded, victorious leader, the one that we claim to follow, can be followed to assured peace. And may it be so. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing our final hymn, Christ is Alive, number 246, verses 1, 2, and 5.
Fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those whom no one loves, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.